Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Look with me in chapter number 3 of the book of Judges, and we'll pick up verse number 12 again. And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord strengthened Eglon, the king of Moab, against Israel, because they had done evil in the sight of the Lord. And he gathered unto him the children of Ammon and Amalek, and went and smote Israel and possessed the city of palm trees. So the children of Israel served Eglon, the king of Moab, 18 years. But when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord raised them up a deliverer. I said this morning, and I'll say it again in passing, that phrase in verse number 12, and the children of Israel done evil again in the sight of the Lord. When reading through the book of Judges, you'll find that is a very common statement in the book of Judges. It's very common. Over and over, they do evil in the sight of the Lord. But here's something else that's very common. But when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord raised them up a deliverer. And even though we may fail God over and over and over again, I sure am glad that every time we run to God, God is always there for us and always willing to help us. It said, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, and the Lord raised them up a deliverer, Ehud, the son of Gerar, a Benjaminite, a man left-handed, and by him the children of Israel sent a present unto Eglon, the king of Moab. But Ehud made him a dagger which had two edges of a cubic length, and he did gird it under his raiment upon his right thigh. And he brought the present unto Eglon, king of Moab, and Eglon was a very fat man. Now that's where I got it from. The Bible said that he was fat. Verse number 18 said this, and when he had made an end to offer the present, he sent away the people and bare the present. But he himself turned again from the quarters that were by Gilgal and said, I have a secret errand unto thee, O king, who said, keep silence. And all that stood by him went out from him. And Ehud came unto him, and he was sitting in a summer parlor which he had for himself alone. And Ehud said, I have a message from God unto thee. And he arose out of his seat. And Ehud put forth his left hand and took the dagger from his right thigh and thrust it into his belly. And the haft also went in after the blade, and the fat closed upon the blade, so that he could not draw out the dagger out of his belly, and the dirt came out. Then Ehud went forth through the porch and shut the doors of the parlor upon him and locked them. For the sake of time, jump to verse 25. And they tarried till they were ashamed, and behold, he opened not the doors of the parlor. Therefore, they took a key and opened them, and behold, their Lord was fallen down dead on the earth. And Ehud escaped while they tarried and passed beyond the quarters and escaped unto Sarath. Now, Father, I pray that you'd help us tonight. I pray, God, that your divine will would be done. Give us understanding. God, I pray, Lord, that you'd give us wisdom as we preach. Help us to recall the things we've studied. Meet the need of each and every person sitting here. And God, will give you the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You can be seated. We began this morning looking at the life of a man by the name of Ehud. Now, whenever you study him out in the Bible, you'll find that there's really not a whole lot that is said about Ehud. But Ehud done a great thing in spite of that. Ehud was used mightily at the hand of God. Now, we talked about Ehud being left-handed, and I'll say more about that in the message tonight. But as we began to look at this morning, we looked at this. Number one, Ehud was assigned. Ehud was assigned. Verse number 15 says this, that God raised them up a deliverer, and it was Ehud. Ehud was assigned to the task that he was going to do from the hand of God. It was God that had something for Ehud to do. We talked about this morning, how God has an assignment for each and every one of us today. No matter our age, no matter our gender, no matter our size, no matter our race, God has an assignment for each and every one of us tonight. God has something for us to do. Ehud was assigned. Not only was Ehud assigned, Ehud was available. Once God gave him an assignment, he was available to do what God would have him to do. Can I ask you a question tonight? Are you available to do what God would have you to do? If God tells you to do something and it's not in your comfort zone, are you available to do that? I thought about what Brother Jeff said a while ago. He said, you go in churches, you don't know whether to shout, you don't know whether to be quiet, you don't know whether to do this or to do that. Can I say something to you tonight? We should always be available for the assignment that God has for us. That assignment might not be pleasant, it might not be what we want, but we should be available for his assignment. I'll never forget the first Sunday morning I preached here at this church. There was about 15 people here. I preached out of the book of Exodus on the ministry in Marah that Sunday morning, and I left that Sunday morning, and to be quite honest with you, I was all right if I never came back up here again. But God had a different assignment, and you know what? I made myself available for that assignment that God had. Looking back over 14 years now, Brother Scotty, I sure am thankful that I made myself available for the assignment that God had. Ehud was assigned. Ehud was available. But then we said this, Ehud was alert. He was alert. He recognized that Eglon was against him. He recognized that there was those that was against him. Eglon, and I'll say even more about this in just a minute. Eglon, as we study his life and we look at him right here, he typifies our flesh tonight. He is a picture of our flesh tonight. And can I say this tonight? If we're not careful, we will allow our flesh to overtake us, and we will not be alert to that is going on around us. Not only was Ehud, as we studied his life this morning, he was assigned. Ehud was available. Ehud was alert. But then I closed out with this. Ehud was aggressive. He was aggressive. I'm not saying tonight that when you walk out of here, you push everybody out of your way. That's not the type of aggression that I'm talking about tonight. I'm not talking about getting in a fight before you leave. At least get off the church grounds if you're going to. That's not the type, but call me. I want to come watch it. I like to watch a good fight. That's not the type of aggression that I'm talking about tonight. Ehud was aggressive towards the enemy that is a picture of our flesh that was coming up against him. What did your Bible say? The Bible said this in verse number 20, talking about Eglon, and he arose out of his seat. He arose out of his seat. Whenever Ehud got to Eglon, whenever Lefty got the fatty right here, here's what was fixing to happen. Eglon was fixing to get killed by Ehud, and I personally believe that he knew something was coming, and he arrived is off of his seat, and as soon as he does, what does Ehud do? He reaches over on his right thigh with his left hand, he gets his dagger out, and he kills him that day. I don't believe, I said this morning, I don't believe that he went at him softly. I don't believe that he said, now you just need to sit back down, and we need to talk a little bit right here. No, I believe that he took his weapon, and he destroyed the enemy that was coming up against him. When it comes to sin today, church, and when it comes to the flesh today, you cannot rationalize with sin. You cannot rationalize with your flesh. You cannot rationalize with the things of this world. You better be aggressive in dealing with sin in your life. You better be aggressive with it. If you're not, it will overtake you. I said this morning, how many preachers scriptures that we talked about on Christmas night at our family get together that should be out of the ministry today, that is out of the ministry today. And if you're to talk to them 10 years before they messed up, I guarantee you they'd have said they never would do that. But what happened? They was not alert to the flesh. They was not alert to Eglon leaping around and lurking in a distance. And what happened in their life? There has been now in the things of God. He was aggressive. He was aggressive. I want to say something to you tonight. I hope I don't offend nobody or make nobody mad, but we need some people to be aggressive about the things of God today. We've raised a generation, and there's a generation of preachers today that just wants to accept everything. And I'm not going to run this rabbit long, but they want to accept everything. All they want to do is preach God as a God of love, and He is a God of love. You're exactly right. He is a God of forgiveness. He is a God of love, but He is also a God of chastisement. He's also a jealous God. He's also a God of judgment. He rained fire and brimstone down upon Sodom and Gomorrah. And I'm going to tell you something, the same things coming to this generation one day if they don't get right with God. And we need some people today that will be aggressive about the things of God. You can love the sinner, you can be kind to the sinner, and still stand for what's right. You can love the sinner, you can still be nice to the sinner, and stand for what's right. You do not have to fall and cave in to every Tom, Dick, and Harry that comes through. God help us to be aggressive and to take a stand in what we believe in tonight, amen? So he was aggressive. Now, here's what I want to look at tonight. I want to look at this thought tonight. We looked this morning about how Ehud, those things about Ehud. But I want to continue in that tonight, looking at Ehud, on when Lefty killed Fatty. That's what the Bible just showed us right here. When Lefty killed Fatty. Number one, tonight I want you to see, and I've dealt with some of this before several years ago, but God really burned it on my heart to deal with it and continue in this tonight. This morning I never preached any of that. Number one tonight, I want you to see his weakness. I want you to see his weakness. Now, I said this morning, but let me say a little bit more about it tonight. In the Bible, left-handedness is a sign of weakness. That's what it typified in the Bible. You say, well, I'm left-handed. I'm not against you. I love you. Okay, just go along with the message tonight and say amen. All right, we'll get done a whole lot quick. But in the Bible, it is a sign of weakness. Ehud's weakness tonight. Hear me and hear me well. The reason Ehud was able to overcome the enemy, the reason Ehud was able to overcome Eglon, a type of the flesh, is because he knew he had a weakness. He knew he had a weakness. I want to say something to you tonight, church. Each and every one of us sitting here tonight has a weakness. Every one of us sitting here tonight has a weakness. You say, well, I'm not weak. Well, I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, I'm weak. I'm weak. The Bible said there is a sin which does so easily beset us. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Not only is there that sin, but there is weights in our life. There is weights in our life. I've said this before, and I'm going to say it again. I've talked about this a little bit before. One of my favorite things to do, one of my all-time favorite things to do, is to fish. Brother Randy, I love it. It's one of my all-time favorite things to do. I could live on a bass boat. Now, I could care less about Daddy loves to crappy fish. I could care less about that. I went every once in a while just because he liked to. But I love to bass fish. There is nothing like standing on the front deck of a boat when the sun's coming up and flipping a jig up underneath the dock at Lake Norman and catching a spot out. There's nothing like that. There's nothing like running across the lake, Brother Rodney, at 75 miles an hour when the smoke's coming up off of it. There's nothing. I love it. I love it. Is that a sin? No. But when we put it in front of the things of God, it becomes a sin. A bass boat is not a sin, but it is a weight. And when I say what I'm fixing to say, I'm not just mumbling, I'm being serious. I pray just about every day that God lets me have another one. You say, would you really pray about it? Yeah, I'm praying about it, because I know if I just go do it and he don't let me, then I'll be in trouble. That's how much I like it. Are you hearing the preacher tonight? That's how much I like it. It becomes a weakness in our life. And if we're not careful, those things that are not sin will become weaknesses in our life. And we will find ourselves out of church, out of the house of God, away from God. Are we still saved? Sure. There is so many that has allowed things that are not sin to become sin because it drags them away from the house of God. I've said this many times. We've not had to worry about it this year, but I've said this many times. I absolutely used to dread when ball season started. Let me tell you the reason why. Because parents would run their kids all over the country on a Sunday morning chasing a dream that their kid may be a superstar when they'll never be one. Is playing ball a sin? Absolutely not. But when you miss the house of God for it, it becomes a weight in it becomes a weight and a weakness in our life. Ehud, the reason he was able to win the fight that day against Eglon was because he realized he had a weakness. He could not do it in the power of himself. He realized that. And I want to reemphasize to us tonight, church, we have weaknesses. We have weaknesses. You know what? Some has allowed, and I don't want nobody to get mad at me, okay? But some has allowed a fear of a virus that has a 99% survival rate to become a weakness and get them completely out of church. Hear what I'm fixing to say. If you've not walked inside of a church house, and everybody in here ought to be saying amen because you're sitting here. But if you've not walked inside of a church house or been on church grounds in 9 months, you're out of church. You're out of church. Well, I do that. And no, you're out of church. That's just the bottom line of that. And it's weaknesses in our life. It's weaknesses in our life. Ehud's weakness. But watch this. Ehud's weapon. You see, in his weakness, he had a weapon. He had a, know what your Bible said in verse number 16. But Ehud made him a dagger which had two edges. You know, I find it very interesting that our Bible is likened to a sword. As a matter of fact, it even goes on to say it's sharper than a two-edged sword. You see, God knew whenever he created man and woman in the Garden of Eden, God knew that they would have a weakness. God was not taken by surprise when Adam and Eve messed up the way that they did. God knew that Adam and Eve had a weakness. God knew what they was going to do. God did not twiddle his thumbs and think, oh no, what am I going to do now? No, God knew exactly what they was going to do. God knew every bit of it before it ever happened. And God knew that mankind would need a weapon to help him along the way and to assist him in this fight with the flesh. Just as God gave Ehud a two-edged dagger that day, God has given you and I a sword today. God has given you and I 66 books today that we can go to, that we can run to. Now watch this. Ehud had this weapon. But evidently, Ehud was experienced with this weapon. Ehud knew exactly what to do with it. I want to say something to you today. We have a weapon, but If we don't use that weapon, what good are we? I thought about this. Some of my very closest friends that I have on this earth is law enforcement. Some of my very closest friends. Now, I know Andy didn't carry a gun, but it's a different day today. I know Barney only had one bullet, but it's a different day today. I'm in our sheriff's office 2 or 3 times a week. I spend a lot of time, especially on Wednesday mornings there. We do devotions, and then after devotions, I go to each one of our different parts of it and talk to the different ones. And you know what? I've never walked in. The major and I is very good friends. I consider Larry Lowe one of my very closest friends. And I've never walked into his office, and he had an empty holster on his side. He's always got a weapon in it. Let me tell you the reason why. Because at any given moment, he may need to use his weapon. Now, I want to ask you a question tonight. What good is our weapon when it's laying at the house? You know what a lot of people do there? A lot of people pick up their Bible 3 times a week. They pick it up on Sunday mornings because it's still in their windowsill from the past 6 months. And they pick it up and open it in their vehicle, and then they lay it back down, and then they pick it up and open it on Sunday night, and then they lay it back down, then they pick it up and open it on Wednesday night, and that's it. God has given us a weapon, church. We better familiarize ourselves with this weapon. Ehud had a weapon, but watch Ehud's wisdom. Look what he said in verse number 16. The Bible said Ehud made him a dagger which had 2 edges of a cubic length, and he did gird it under his raiment upon his right thigh. His wisdom was this. He knew he had a weapon, and he knew he was fixing to go battle with a fat boy. So his wisdom was this. He did not leave his weapon laying at the house. But when he got, quote unquote, to the battlefield, he had his weapon with him. He was wise. He was wise. You say, well, preacher, I can't just put my weapon on my side and carry it with me all the time. But you can. Because David said this, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. I remember Don Fellows made us memorize 937 and a half chapters going through high school. Didn't we, Brother Matt? Didn't we, Miss Tina? She never memorized that one. Wives be submissive to your husbands. But we had to memorize, So, Brother Brian didn't even say amen there. He hadn't eaten supper yet. We memorized scripture. We went to youth camp. And at youth camp, you know what we done at youth camp? We memorized scripture, memorized scripture, memorized scripture, memorized scripture, memorized scripture. That's all we done. And I used to think, man, this is a waste of time. David said, thy word have I hid in my heart. Thy word have I hid my heart. How many times have we been at that place of weakness? And the word of God be the weapon. What did Jesus use himself? What did Jesus use himself in battling Satan? He used the word of God. I've not said much about this, but there has been a few times that I have been on the COVID floor of some of the hospitals visiting. They had patients and they was requesting someone to pray with them and talk to them about the Lord right before they died. And you said, preacher, would you go? I went in a heartbeat. Because I'm going to tell you something, if I was called and asked to go and I didn't go and that person died and went to hell, their blood would be required of my hands one day. Absolutely, I went. I put all the get up on and went. And here's one thing I'll never forget. The first time I went to jail, when I stepped into one of those rooms, and the gentleman said, he ended up knowing that he was saved, but he said something about just hearing some verses from the Bible. I didn't have a Bible, Brother Stan. That was in my pocket that day. And if I did have a Bible that was in my pocket, there was no way I could get to it because all that stuff I had on over me. Miss Bethany, you know what I'm talking about. I had all that. Miss Nicole, you know what I'm talking about. Had all that on over me. And you know what I done that day? I began to quote scripture that I didn't even know that I could quote. And let me tell you what every bit of that was. It was the Lord allowing me to have wisdom where I had tried to learn my weapon and keep my weapon with me. His wisdom. His wisdom. His wisdom. He just didn't make a weapon. He just didn't have a weapon. He carried his weapon with him. Church, that word of God is what will, it's exactly what will quench the fiery darts of the devil with. You need to know it. You need to study it. You need to read it every day. You need to listen to it. I thought about this, a lot of people. And there's nothing wrong with podcasts. I've got some that I listen to. There's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with audio books. I've got some that I listen to. I sure do. There's one called The Tale of Three Kings that is absolutely life-changing. If you've never read the book, A Tale of Three Kings, you need to get the book and read it. And if you don't read, listen to it on Audible, or you can get it on iBooks. If you're lost and got an Android, I don't know what you'll get it on. Ain't that right, Brother Randy? It'll change your life, won't it, Daddy? A Tale of Three Kings. It's a story of Solomon, David, and Absalom. If you've ever wondered what it was like to be a fly on the wall in Solomon's chambers when he was throwing those daggers at David, read the book. You'll be sitting there. It's amazing. He writes in the third person, the writer does, and it's amazing. But I love to listen to books. But let me tell you what you ought to listen to more than anything. If you've got time to listen to 3 hours of podcast, you got time to listen to 2.5 hours of the Word of God. Oh, well, preacher, listen to it on Bible Is. And it'll play music in the background and their voices will change. And when the demons start talking to that swine, the hair will stand up on your back. I had to cut it off. It give me the heebie-jeebies. I ain't lying to you. Anybody else ever listen to that on Bible Ears? You know what I'm talking about then, don't you? Anyway, so preacher, what are you saying? Here's simply what I'm saying. We need this book. Young people, hide this book in your heart. Hide this. I wish I'd have memorized more scripture than I did when I was a young person. I just can't memorize like I used to memorize. Somebody say amen right there. When you get older, I mean, I don't know what in the world we're going to do when we get as old as Robert Potts. Thank God for GPSs. I forget my way to church. I have to use GPS to get to church when I get his age. He said, preach what he said, his wisdom. He just didn't have a weapon. He realized that he was weak. He realized that he had a weapon, but he had wisdom. Watch this, his winning. His winning. What did the Bible say in verse number 25? The latter portion of it said this, their Lord was fallen down dead on the earth. Their Lord was fallen down dead upon the earth. For 18 years, the children of Israel had feared him. For 18 years, the children of Israel had dealt with him. But one man stepped on the scene that made himself available. There was a sign by God. There was alert to what was going on. There was aggressive, realized he had a weakness. Then he got a weapon and was wise, and he ended up winning. I don't know about anybody else. I want to win. I want to hear him say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. But the only way we'll ever hear him say well done is if we've done well. And the only way that we'll ever do well is if we stay close to this book. His winning that day. He defeated Eglon that day. I see that as a personal victory in his life. Ehud experienced a personal victory. Lefty killed Fatty that day. And he experienced a personal victory. Watch this, verse number 27. And it came to pass when he was come, that is talking about Ehud, Eglon's now dead. Verse 26 is our context. And Ehud escaped while they tarried and passed beyond the Kors and escaped unto Sirath. And it came to pass when he, who is he, Ehud, was come, that he blew a trumpet in the mountain of Ephraim, and the children of Israel went down with him from the mount, and he before them. And he said unto them, follow after me, for the Lord hath delivered your enemies, the Moabites, into your hand. And they went down after him and took the fords of Jordan toward Moab and suffered not a man to pass over. And they slew of Moab at that time, watch this, about 10,000 men, all lusty, which means robust, and all men of valor, which means men of great physical strength, and they escaped not a man. So Moab was subdued that day under the hand of Israel, and the land had rest, watch this, 80 years. 80 years. They had victory for 80 years. The whole land did. All, is anybody hearing the preacher tonight? All of Israel did. All of Israel did. Come start playing. All of them. That sounded kind of bossy, didn't it? Would you please make your way to the piano and play softly? Not just Ehud. The Bible just said all of Israel. For 80 years. For 80 years. Let me tell you the reason why. Because there's one person. There's one person. Got an assignment by God. One person. And you know what that one person did? They made themselves available, alert, and aggressive. They realized that they was weak, but realized that God had helped give them the wisdom to make a weapon and was wise in how they used that weapon. And watch this. They experienced a personal victory and then led a whole nation to a nationwide victory. The reason that you may not can lead nobody else to victory is because you've never experienced victory yourself. Let me tell you the reason some people never make leaders. It's because they never are able to overcome those little Eglons that come about in their life. They're never able to. Some people struggle with some things spiritually their whole life and they never get the victory over them. I want you to hear me tonight. That sin which does so easily beset you, you do not have to struggle with that sin. You can have victory over that sin. Amen. Amen. You say, well, preacher, does that mean it's never going to bother me? No, those things bother us every day of our life. But we do not have to be defeated by it. I don't guess anybody else is getting what I got out of this. We don't have to be defeated by it. We don't have to be knocked down by it. Eglon, our flesh, does not have to win. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ that liveth in me. And the life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Read Romans 5, 6, and 7. I'm dead to sin. That's right, preacher. Thank God I'm dead to sin too. I died, the flesh died with Jesus on Calvary. I died to sin on Calvary that day. I am crucified with Christ. we choose to allow sin to have dominion over our life. We choose to allow Eglon, the old fat boy, to overrun our life. That's what we choose to do. Paul said every day that he buffeted himself. He crucified himself daily. Every morning I wake up, I have to look in the mirror and tell Jonathan that he's not running the day, that God's running the day, that the Holy Ghost is running the day, that he's not in charge of it. God is. And when we get to that point, we don't have to live in defeat. We can live in victory, just as Ehud did, and he led the whole children of Israel to it.